Welcome to Bring On the Mess, a show where we have real conversations about how to embrace life's messiness and how we find ways to show up and uncover our true selves. I'm Bethy Ann Dorman. I'm the CEO at For All Seasons.
And I'm Lisa Lee, the Chief Clinical Officer here at For All Seasons.
Well, it's here.
It's here.
It is here.
Since yesterday.
It's officially summer, people. The schools are out. It's not officially summer because I think that's like June 21st or something.
You're right. But most schools are out, and definitely in our world's here.
And so it's like an anxiety-ridden, fun time. There's a lot of unknowns about summer. My kids last night, this was the conversation. Mom, just so you all have context, we've got four teenagers at home, 17, 14, 13, and 11. So the 13-year-old and 11-year-old are mine by my first marriage, and I have two others that are now mine by second marriage. So my kids said, Mom, it's the first day that we don't have to go to school tomorrow. Can we go to bed at midnight? And I said, no, you still have a bedtime. But I know, but it's the first day. So we made a deal that last night was a midnight bedtime. And the rest of the summer, they had to have a reasonable bedtime, and we've pushed it from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Like, it's like a big deal in our house.
Well, I know you're going to laugh at me. However, I did do something a little bit different this year, because I am notorious for, like, structure, bedtime. And part of that is, like, for my own mental health and my own just physical health. So last night, they had a little buddy spend the night, and basically, the question is like, how late can we stay up? And I have to say, my 11-year-old, I'm super impressed with, because he put himself to bed fairly early. He said, Mom, I'm tired. I was already sleeping, by the way. And then I woke up randomly at like 11:30. I do remember the time, and the other kids were still up. I'm like, all right, electronics off, go to bed. Mm-hmm. And so it is really interesting about, like, now there's this potential for unstructured time. That's what brings me the anxiety.
100%. And you structure time so easily during the school year because there's a set drop-off and a set pickup time. And there is this, I was having this conversation with a couple of moms about just who's got to go where and who needs to get to what place. I know for my kids, like, there's some half-day camps and then there's some full-day camps, and none of the times work with a working parent's schedule, and a lot of us have to work, and so we don't have the option to sort of be as flexible. That can be really hard, too, knowing that we've got to figure out a new structure for ourselves. You even talk about going to bed early, and just so you all know, Lisa and I have a joke, because there's some nights it's like 7:45 and she'll send me a message and still say, haha, my kids are already in bed. And we're not even home from baseball practice yet. So it becomes a subject of a joke between the two of us. But that structure and the shift of structure also really impacts us as parents.
Absolutely. Yeah, camps. This was the first year, because they're still eligible for this one particular camp that they've gone to, and this is the first year we've decided to keep them out of camp. And so it's just this hodgepodge of, I'm lucky because I have my parents to help me out. There's a lot of folks who, like you said, don't have the support of somebody else to take them somewhere, and so they have to either leave work early or there's extended time at the camps and maybe the kids aren't happy about it. And so it is a really hard balance trying to figure out how to negotiate. Where do my kids go? What do we do? How long do they stay on electronics if they have to be at home? And that part is like very anxiety producing for me.
Yeah, so this whole idea of needing to fill a day and fill it in such a way that it's meaningful, that we feel like there's not too much screen time. But I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who I ran into last week, and he and I were talking about the fact that his one son is doing no camps and just wants to be home, and how do you monitor the on-screen time, but also knowing that that's how he's connecting with his friends because they're all on their headsets and they're playing together, right. And so there is that connection. So it's a negotiation of where is the time being best spent, and also I think we have an obligation in all of this planning of this unstructured time to make sure that unstructured time is present, because how many kids are so overstructured that they don't know how to function in an unstructured time?
I think that's a really good point. And so when I think about that, I kind of go back to what I said initially, which was my youngest was able to get himself to bed because he said we were really tired. And one of the things that we talk about at the house all the time is in order to stay healthy, you have to get enough sleep, eat right, and exercise. And it's just like this repetitive theme over and over that I'm thinking that they internalized, it sounds like, and maybe they're able to regulate a little bit the sleep time. I'm not sure about the electronic time yet, if left alone. But yes, trying to figure out how to create that healthy balance so that kids can internalize that and then figure out what's sort of the right way for them. And then how much parent intervention or guardian intervention do they need to help them get off of the electronic or whatever it might be that they're doing.
Yeah, and as you're sort of talking through that, there's the part of me that recognizes that we come to this from the lens of middle class white women who have degrees and jobs. And
right.
So we have to own that this might not resonate with some who don't come from our lens. And
right.
So depending on the culture and in the community and the socioeconomic status that somebody sits in, some of these things that we might talk through may seem like total intangible items. And so let's just own that now, because I think that's an important piece as we really make sure that we are having an equitable conversation about these things. Because there might be families out there who are saying, I would love to be able to send my kids to 5 camps and I can't afford
right.
that. And
right.
So one of the things that came to mind as you were saying that was, so often we talk about the things that cost money. We talk about the vacations, we talk about the camps and the way that we can fill kids' times. But really what it's about is finding important moments that might happen right at the kitchen table. And it might be a coloring book in crayons. It might be going outside and kicking a soccer ball around or playing tag in the backyard. And so really wanting to make sure that we also recognize that this might not be a summer where there's enough money to go around, or money might be sitting in a different place where camps aren't possible. And so how do we find those moments in the summer time where we can really connect with our kids in a meaningful way that dollars might not be attached?
And let me add to that, during what time? Because there might be some folks that have an opportunity to stay home during the day and they can find meaningful connection during the day, whereas other folks might have to find meaningful connection in the evenings because they're still working during the day, trying to figure out what they're going to do with their kids during the day, and then come home after a long days of work trying to figure out how can I stay present for my children when I get home.
Yeah, so that leads me to automatically think about, like, what do I need, or what do we all need individually to make it work? So for me, I know that one of the most anxiety-provoking pieces of summer is when I don't have the time to sit down and look at the schedule and figure out who has to be where, how I'm going to get them, and where can I be present with my kids. And so maybe some of it is about planning and being able to say, okay, I want to be present every day, but I'm not home. I'm not able to be in the space with my kids 24/7. What's my plan for how I'm going to put that in? So for me, I sit in like the people who need a plan end of things. And maybe there's others who are sitting and saying, I totally fly by the seat of my pants and that's fine. And that's the way I like it the best in the summer.
I want a plan. I'm not very good at a plan. So I want one. And it sounds really, really good. But to be transparent, I'm not the best at figuring out that part of it. So what to do with my kids. I will say, one of my plans is I'm going to put some caution tape, that yellow caution tape, in one of the doorways because it's too close to my office. You cannot pass this area in order to survive that piece of it. And then when I think about connection, because I feel bad about not being able to connect with my kids while I'm at home and they're out doing some stuff and mom, why can't you play or hang out? And
all you ever do is work. You're always on the phone.
Right. And so that leads to conversations about this is what I have to do for work and I'm so sorry. And we could talk about that. So for me, my connection time really is, like right before bed, I get an opportunity just to kind of be with the boys and be able to talk with them, and if there's any big issues that come up, we can resolve them and have a really kind of pleasant time during that moment.
Yeah. You know, what I love about the sort of scenario you just shared is it's the mom guilt that we talk about.
Yes.
And we come to this as moms. So there may be dads out there listening and they're saying, I have the same guilt. One of the things I automatically thought about was if we can't own the mom or the dad or the grandparent or the caregiver guilt that comes from not being able to be fully present at all times for a myriad of reasons. It might be caring for other kids, it might be caring for an aging parent or a neighbor. One of the things that I know about me is that when I'm feeling that guilt, that's when I don't always show up as my best self, mm-hmm. because there can be sort of this the guilt that leads to the resentment that I don't have the time for my kids, and then I might snap differently with my boys because I'm really at the heart of it, like sad that I'm not able to be more present with them. And so it just, for me, brings up the awareness of how is that guilt factoring into my daily interactions with the kids too.
I appreciate that. I experience the same thing and try to notice when I'm getting a little bit shorter, if I've had a hard day, or maybe I haven't eaten enough or gotten enough sleep or whatever it might be. I agree with that, and they don't deserve that. And it's an opportunity to make amends, which is really kind of a lovely experience. But if it's happening over and over and over again, something needs to change. So for instance, for me, if it's happening over and over again, my sense would be is I probably need to sit down and be a little bit more planful about right. events and yeah. move over yeah. to your side yeah. a little bit more. So, yeah.
But I think also in all of that, we can plan our lives away. And one of the things I know that many, many parents share in the summertime, and one of the things that becomes hard in summer transition is the need to have to pivot when plans shift. And so if we have this really great structured plan, you also have to know that something, you know, camp might get canceled. It's not like school where it's there and it is open from the moment of drop off till the moment that we pick up. And so I think the pressure on parents to pivot when things shift, and no different than school, like when kids get sick, if you need to be home, but it's a little bit different in the summertime because there's no real backup plan always when it comes to scheduling. And also if kids just want to change plans. And so really making sure that we are taking into account the stress of the pivot, that if there's a full-time working parent and someone needs to shift the schedule, how does that impact the daily working, which I think is important too.
I don't know if you know this, but I have coined you the queen of pivot. I feel like, believe, I'm not sure the right way to say it, that you are really good at trying to pivot, but it does take an emotional toll mm-hmm. on your system, especially if it's this constant need to pivot.
Yeah. I appreciate the fact that you think I'm a champion at it.
I do.
I will own. I'm good at it. But I also think that there isn't always the moments where I or whoever else is a good pivoter or a bad pivoter. You don't have to be good or bad at it. The stress that it sort of invokes. And so I think one of my invitations for people as we get into these summer months is to pay attention how stress is landing and how much stress we're having to carry in the beginning. And it might just be like getting into a new routine. It might be, for me, I have to look a week ahead, but there are some days where my ex-husband or my husband will say, like, what's happening for tonight? And my answer to both of them equally is, I don't know, I haven't gotten past 9 a.m. I'll talk to you about 5 o'clock tonight when I get there, you know? So I just know for me that, you know, I have to have a plan, but sometimes I know the pivot has to be there too.
I appreciate that. And routine is important. And there's some things during the summer that can stay a routine. And I've already started to have conversations about what bedtime looks like, what electronic time looks like. And yes, you call it pivot, I call it flexibility, we can call it whatever we need to. Mm-hmm. But that there needs to be some time when we can move things around. And you're right, it does cause, you know, potential stress. And again, it could be stressful for the kids having to pivot or be flexible with changes. What I would say is, for me, I don't know about for anyone else, but for me, keeping a routine is very important, and maybe that's what you're talking about, plan, I'm not sure. But if I could keep some things that are routine set in stone, and again, knowing that if they're going to have buddies over, maybe they're going to stay up later a particular night, but that actually relieves some of my anxiety to know that we're going to stick with the routine mm-hmm. and hopefully have less flexibility or pivoting that needs to happen.
You know, there are some times when we do these podcasts where I feel like there should be like a ding, 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 ding. Like, we have a winner. Because I think that piece is so important and something that we as caregivers and parents sometimes forget, that our children are craving structure, whether they say they want it or not.
Right.
The importance of keeping structure in a summer routine is not only important for their little brains, it's important for us as parents and caregivers. But the other thing that I absolutely know to be true is that when our children are tired, they don't show up as their best selves. And when I dial back the end of a day where we've had a kid who's unhappy or yelling or not being kind, if I rewind 24 to 48 hours, every single time it comes back to didn't get enough sleep, there was no structure, there was sort of this like whatever kind of attitude. And so I am always reminded when my kid's not having a good day that the onus at times comes back on me for not keeping that structure in place.
I would agree 100%. And there's so many parents that I talk to that have the same thing, that when we rewind back, we see that there's a lot of tiredness, that they're maybe even hungry because they haven't had their breakfast, their lunch, their snack.
Yeah,
they haven't had that. And so again, for me, it's the things that I can control and that I know that I could do on a regular basis, and then hopefully create some pivoting that might need to happen in preparing my kids for that, because that's going to be important, is how do we prepare our kids to pivot, because flexibility really is an important skill to develop. Right. So as much as I can create or maintain the routine and then create opportunities for learning about pivoting.
Yeah. And I think the other piece as we think through all of this, and that sometimes we forget, now we had a lot of this during COVID because you couldn't go anywhere, but I think the ability to take day trips and make small moments, even if you can't take a week off of work, maybe if you can take a half a day. One of the things that's become, my brother just moved to Virginia, and so we're based out of Maryland, and he's discovered all of these awesome places that we could take our kids collectively that I didn't even know about. And sometimes we forget about the educational moments in the area, or the fun little things, or that sometimes just going and like kicking your feet around in water is just as exciting for kids as going off and doing a huge vacation. So if we can look at the areas that we live in and see where there might be some fun activities that kids don't get to do on a regular basis, that might be a way of leaning into some of these staycations more. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes my boys are just like, I just want to be home. I don't want to do anything. I just want to stay home. And we do what I call a jammy movie party, and we all get our jammies on and have popcorn and watch a movie. And so those moments are important too.
Absolutely. To be able to spend with family. And so let me throw a monkey wrench in here. The balance between family time and, depending on what age child you have too, of course, you know, the ages of our kids, and I don't want to speak for you, but there's a lot of friend time that wants to be had.
Yep.
And how do we balance the family time with the friend time? Mm-hmm. And when is it time for kids to go home? And that tends to be a big thing at our house too.
Yeah, for sure. And making sure that we aren't spending so much time in the friend, and sometimes it's even family too, if the family is all around. And some of you who are listening might be saying, well, my family lives with us. So it might be that you are needing to create times where it's even like a walk outside, where it's just maybe individually you and your kids, or the kids that you're caretaking for. I think also in the friend group, there's also moments where we know that our home becomes the safe place for kids. And so if that's you out there and you're thinking like, kids are at my house because it's the best place to be, being able to sort of set some boundaries so you have maybe even one night that everybody isn't around, I think is important.
Yeah, and I think the other little nugget that is important for us to consider is when we're spending time with our kids and we're doing, like you said, maybe a staycation, or we're not going on big fancy trips, because like you said, not everyone can do things like that, is how can we, and I know we've talked about this in other podcasts and stuff before, but how can we put away the electronics? How can we put away the distractions and just be together in the moment. And so maybe we're making popcorn together, or maybe we're making dinner together, or maybe we're making cookies together or drawing together, but that we're fully immersed in the moment with that person. Because I don't know about you, but my kids can tell when I'm distracted or when I'm not around fully.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's another important piece, is that when we are doing those things and we're sending kids home or we're saying it's time to get off electronics and we're doing that special thing, and again, it could be right before bed, whatever you know, each person decides, it's how do we stay in the moment, even if it's for 10 minutes only.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked through a little bit about the excitement of summer. We know that this is a great time for kids. They don't have to worry about school anymore. And for parents, it also provides a little bit of an opportunity to think about the summer differently. I know for me, it's anxiety provoking on several levels at times. And so we hope that what we've talked through today, just in our own experiences as moms with kids, we recognize that some of you are listening may not have kids, but there might be kids in your life. We recognize that there are others who may be grandparents listening who have kids, you know, for a certain amount of time, and you might be the fun place that the kids get to go where there is no structure. But I think the awareness just that summertime isn't always a fun time, because there's so many moving parts in it. And so in order to make it that fun time, sometimes we have to do some planning and some thinking. So we hope that some of the stuff that we've shared with you today about the strategies that we're trying at our home will certainly let you know when they don't work. I mean, we're real good at calling out when things aren't working, but we hope that you're all starting to sort of think through your summer and hope that there's some things in place that you can share with those kids in your lives and with the family around you, and we will be with you in another couple weeks.